Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast. And man, I don't know if this was a Super Bowl or not. A lot to talk about with this game this past weekend. Legacies, are they at stake, or are we making way too much in the Monday morning quarterback chair? A lot of different moves have been made. We have some coaches that are leaving from a Super Bowl ring and then doing their own thing. We'll get into all of that and a few other tidbits here and there. But I'm your Jose, the fantasy football fiend himself, and I have my guys, Young Vander and BK Wins. Holla at the people, Vander.
What's going on out there?
And BK, holla at the people.
Hey, y'all.
All right, so let's dive right in. I don't think this was a Super Bowl that anyone expected. Unless there were some Eagles fans that just simply only drink their Kool-Aid and they're literally fanatics and just didn't really want to see it being able to go any other way. But this was tough to watch. It seemed as if the game was in hand from the time the game started, pretty much. And this isn't what I thought I was going to see. BK, why don't you start us out? What were your immediate reactions to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's surprising because the Chiefs play so many one-score games that we expected this to be a close game, especially given from a roster standpoint, the teams were evenly matched. At least that's what it looked like on paper. But oftentimes we've seen history repeats itself, as my dad likes to always remind me. And we saw it in two different perspectives on Sunday. One, in Super Bowls past, we saw a lot of blowouts where one team played way better than people expected and one team underperformed. And we saw that again on Sunday. The Eagles executed close to the perfect game plan and execution of that plan, as you can see. And the Chiefs clearly failed to learn from the past. And what I mean by that is the blueprint the Eagles used is the same exact blueprint that the Buccaneers and Brady used to blow them out in the prior Super Bowl that they met. Only rushed four, didn't blitz Mahomes, got a ton of pressure on him with those four. They were able to cover behind. They shut down the big plays. It was literally like watching the same game twice with different teams and quarterbacks because it was literally the mirror the same. And from a Chiefs perspective, you know, everyone wants to compare. The conversation was if the three-peat happens or when it happened, based on how a lot of us felt, myself included. When the three-peat happens, how does that stack up Mahomes with Brady? Here's the thing. Please stop. Brady made it to the AFC title game 15 out of 17 years. He won 7 Super Bowls. Brady was never, ever, ever blown out in a Super Bowl. Mahomes has gotten blown out twice. And remember, this is the third Super Bowl in a row where they fell behind double digits, 10-0 or worse early. The earlier two, they overcame that. This game, as soon as he threw that pick six that made it 17-0, that was the end of the road. Vander, what do you think about it?
Muted.
Kind of going off what you've been saying, that's kind of the misconception when it comes to Mahomes. He just doesn't play that well in Super Bowls. You got 5 Super Bowl appearances, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You do the math on that, right? So when it comes to the GOAT, per se, yeah, he has the rings. And he tends to make the best play at the right time. So that's the thing. So when you do, everything is all forgiven when you make the play that needs to win the game. So that's what he's been doing when it comes to these games. But in this particular game, I'm not going to really put the blame on him, per se, because people are going to say he struggled. But his offensive line did nothing to help him out. Yeah. I mean, you got Fangio, who's a guy who does not blitz, right? He's getting there with 4. And anytime you can get there with 4 and you can drop 7, it's going to be a problem. Don't believe it? as the Patriots on their undefeated season against the Giants. If you can get there with four guys, it's going to be a long night. And that's what Mahomes had. Didn't really have much time to throw the ball. Again, to be honest with you, and I was talking to, you know, a friend of mine who's a big Chiefs fan. This is the worst I've seen the Chiefs offensive line play probably ever since in a quarterback. Yeah. I'm talking about regular season, playoffs, whatever. Like, they didn't do a job at all. Like, it was bad. And, you know, in this game, if you could, whoever controls the line of scrimmage wins the game.
And it was supposed to be a strength on strength between the Eagles D line and the Chiefs O line. It wasn't even close. And I'm sorry, NFC, but this is the youngest defensive line to ever win a Super Bowl. These guys are in year two of a contract, so most of them aren't going anywhere anytime soon. And this was also without their standout linebacker, Dean. So this squad isn't going anywhere. They may be in a division that sends two teams to the playoffs perennially, which means that there are going to be other teams within said division that aren't going to be able to do much of anything just based on how the playoffs work out. But my other question is, now that the dust is somewhat settling, are we actually going to speak on, which we didn't in this case so far, the people that won? What about them? What about Hurts? What about Sirianni? How are we viewing them today in comparison to how we viewed them yesterday? They were perennially on the hot seat. These were the two that people love to say weren't good at their job, were 1 year away from not having a job. Like, you think of it, it was said. So how do we feel about them this morning? How much leeway do they get? Is this going to be a Ryan Day type situation? You won the championship, so now you got a contract to 2031. Is it going to be that sort of a turnaround? Or could Nick Sirianni be back on the hot seat again 2 years from now after winners? Because that's all it took the first go round. After he, you know, I mean, like, they went from being good to being okay in a matter of a couple years, and it was already we might have to think about going a different direction. So, like, how do you see the Eagles panning out going forward? Are some of the things that we said about the Commanders as far as being a team that people will want to go to as far as free agency is concerned? We've said that about the Commanders. We've said that about Kansas City. We haven't really said that too much about the Eagles. Are they now in that category? And what's their window now? Vander, why don't you go ahead and start us out?
Well, I mean, of course, the quarterback always get, you know, when they do bad, the quarterback gets kicked in the butt. And then when they do well, the quarterback gets praised. But I'm going to go a little step further. I think the person who deserves the most credit here is Howie Roseman, because he's done let's face it. He was able to get an in-division rivalry to trade you the best player probably in the division and Saquon Barkley. You drafted two rookie corners who played in this game, played well. Quinyon Mitchell, having an all-pro year. Cooper DeJean, the second only white cornerback of all time behind Jason Sehorn, right? Playing extremely well. They duped the draft. Remember, a few years back, you got Jalen Carter, who was the best player in the draft, positionless. The best, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Going to 10. So you got the best player in the draft at 10. You draft two good corners. Zach Braun, having an all-pro year. This dude's a special teams guy. He's never been a starter at all since he's been in the NFL. Always been a special teams guy. Just so having got the keys to be a starter, and he's having an all-pro year, right? So you had that, those moves. Replacing the Hall of Famer Kelce at center. I just think Howie Roseman, also you're playing with two new coordinators, right? You got Fangio. This is his first year. You got Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore has been there for a couple years.
Okay, but these are like, well, this is second year?
Second or third. I think he went.
That coordinator, remember, he got a job and went to the Colts. So
So Kellen Moore came from, well, he came from the Chargers, and then he went to the Eagles. Yeah.
Right. So you hired two new coordinators. You got two rookie cornerbacks that's playing. You went and got Gardner Johnson back from Detroit Lions. Don't forget about that. So, I mean, like, I think Howie Roseman has done a magical job with this roster. And I'm going to say he deserves the most credit out of all this, in my opinion, because, I mean, he was willing and dealing, and he put a nice little roster together. So my hats go off to him.
So, BK, if you recall, in a previous show, you asked me a question. You asked me what I thought the Eagles' window would be, and I'm going to ask you that same question. What's their window? Does it change, rearrange, stay the same now that they've won a Super Bowl? Or like how are we viewing the Eagles at this point going forward?
I think it would be almost impossible to say that the Eagles window hasn't grown because of this Super Bowl win. Perception oftentimes is reality. And until you prove you can win the big game, there's always questions. And because of how Sirianni operates, he will always find himself in the midst of some trouble and turmoil. And to be honest, Hurts for 2.5 quarters really wasn't that great in this game either. You know, his stats were like 15 of 20 for 135, 140 yards. Like, that's nothing to get excited about. But what I'll say is, going back to Vander's point, this team is very well constructed. They're loaded across the board with young talent, and there's really not a weakness with this team. So if Hurts can just, I know quarterbacks hate this, but if he can just manage the game and do what he does, like, think about this. The Eagles were terrible on third down, 3 of 12, 0-1 on fourth down. Barkley was pretty much a zero running the ball, and they still were up 40-6. Like, that's scary about how dangerous this team is. So I think the sky's the limit. Their window's a lot bigger than I initially believed. And it'll be really interesting, because I think there's going to be a very real race between the Eagles, the Niners, who still talent-wise are a very loaded roster, although we can debate what will happen to Debo and how that'll impact them, and can McCaffrey stay healthy. But I say all that to say that between Washington, Philly, Detroit, where they are, and San Francisco, their window looks a lot better today than it did coming into Super Bowl Sunday. I really like how they're where they're positioned.
Vander, let me ask you this. With this type of a loss and going into Sunday, we're having conversations. And when I say we, I'm talking about anyone that talks about sports. I don't care if you're at the barbershop, if you're on ESPN, if you're on Fox, wherever you are, at work, wherever. Going into this game, there was a conversation to be had about, is Reed the GOAT coach if he wins Sunday? Is Patrick Mahomes already, before the age of 30, the GOAT QB? I think that that was an overreaction, but I also think that the current way of thinking is an overreaction as well. Tom Brady had about a decade between his first Super Bowl win and second, and ended up having the most Super Bowl wins ever. Are we going to allow this weekend to say that the Kansas City window is now closing, or they aren't as great as they have seemed? Is this a, we have a blueprint type of situation? Is this a team where Philadelphia is one of the only teams where they have two things that work very well that other teams can't duplicate? the tush push being one. If you need anywhere between 3 yards or less, that play may just work at the 3 yard end. At the 1 or 2 yard end, it's going to work. But they also have a young defensive line that they don't have to send any blitzers in for. And a lot of teams don't have that type of a construction. So is there a blueprint? Can they still be the greatest? Has that ship sailed? How are we looking at that pair?
No, I think they're just fine. I mean, it's just like, let's look at the AFC, for instance. They have had a chokehold on the AFC since Pat Mahomes became the starter. So just because they lost in the Super Bowl this time, this is their fifth appearance. How long has he been in the league?
7 years.
And he didn't start one of those years, right?
Yeah, his first year he didn't start.
So there you go. So I think it's an overreaction of somebody thinking the window is closing. Nah, this team is still geared to go. It's still going to be a destination for free agents and people that's ring chasing. Rashee Rice wasn't there. You know, they had some good players that wasn't there as well. Andy Reid is still a hell of a coach. I never thought he was the best coach, but he's definitely, I mean, you're still chasing the ghosts. You're still chasing Belichick, you know what I'm saying? He probably he won't get there, I mean, being his age and probably where he's at, but.
So you're saying you think that Mahomes has a better chance of being a good quarterback than Reid has of being, okay.
Because I don't see Andy Chase. I don't see Andy coaching Mahomes the rest of his career.
No.
He's gonna stop short somewhere. So I think Mahomes still had the opportunity to chase Brady because, I mean, he got three of them at this point. And, I mean, look at it. The way the league is being officiated now, these guys are
playing to 15 years left.
You know what I'm saying? So
then again, with how they're getting paid now, maybe a lot of these guys don't want to play till they're 40. There aren't. Brady's the only quarterback that played as long as he did. They're few and far between, you know, quarterbacks that choose to play as long as he did. And if there is that gap in appearances where it's like, well, I thought you were going to get there every year, but now here we are 5, 6, we're going on like, and obviously time will tell, but who knows if that ends up being the case, because maybe a Cincinnati now takes another step forward. Maybe there are going to be several teams, and we'll talk about it in the coming weeks, that just need a tweak here or there, and they can really make things scary for the likes of Kansas City and the Eagles as well. But
one of the differences between like a Cincinnati and a Kansas City is money. Mahomes is underpaid. Let's face it, right?
Yeah,
he took a nice little discount to help the rest of the roster, a la Tom Brady-esque, right? There's no way the Patriots win all those Super Bowls as Tom Brady. Nah, I mean, most of his career, he's been operating at the 7th highest paid, or, you know, he's always been kind of low. Ergo, you know, he's always been the best quarterback in the league. And Mahomes is doing the same thing at this point. Let's look at all the guys that's making more money than he is. The Dak Prescotts and all these guys. But he's taking the pay cut so you can pay the Travis Kelce's. You can have a great offensive line. Things of that nature. And again, like I said, this is a destination for free. So once you have a destination where guys want to come play, it makes it a lot easier. It's like recruiting for college football. You have that Power Five team, people want to come play for you. I mean, if you get a scholarship offer from Alabama and you get one from South Carolina State, where are you gonna go to school at, right? And it's just one of those things, like, people are gonna go play with the best guys. But now that's in the AFC. All the rumblings and all the movement is happening in the NFC now. So you have the Eagles, who've done well this past year. And then you got those guys over there in Washington. Well, free agents are knocking the door down to get over there with him. So it's going to be a battle to the top for sure. But now the Chiefs will be around here next year. I mean, the AFC Championship, they've been at least the AFC Championship 6 years, right? The last 6 years, I think.
Seven in a row.
Seven? So, hey, no, there's no need to worry. Just got to fix the small issues.
BK, what would you have liked to have seen change? If there was a tweak, or if there was just a, if you can put a bug in Andy Reid's ear at any point in time in this game, is there anything that could have been changed? Is there anything that any stone that was kind of left unturned. We know what turnovers do, but from the coaching standpoint, was there anything that Andy Reid could have changed, or was this just a kryptonite for Superman?
So I'm going to answer that question, but I'm also going to respond to the last segment.
Okay.
So I'm going to give an unpopular view, probably won't be the first time. But, you know, in the conversation between Mahomes running down Brady, I think we're forgetting an important quarterback that just can't be tossed aside. Joe Cool. You know, Joe Montana was 4-0 in Super Bowls, and I know he played for loaded teams. But here's, and I know that he didn't have quite the significant sustained run that Mahomes had, especially to start his career. So I'm not disputing that. But if I take a guy that's 4-0 who's never lost a Super Bowl versus a guy who's 3-2 and got spanked badly and non-competitive in two of them, and I know it would have been different if he was 4-1 with 3 in a row, that's a different conversation. But my point in saying that is Mahomes needs to first pass Montana before we worry about where he is with Brady. Like, he's not even at Montana yet. Let's get there first.
You know what that argument sounds like, BK? The when did LeBron pass Kobe argument. That's what it kind of feels like. Like at what point? But I would have to say that he's been in a position to be able to do things that were unfathomable. So I understand how people are putting him in that rare air already based on where he is in his career. But yeah, you're not wrong. It's a valid point for sure.
I think a lot of it too, and this is not, I think a lot of it comes down to recency bias. We haven't seen Joe Montana throw a ball in forever, so people forget what that looked like. You know, people see Mahomes all the time. And look, he's amazing. There is not a team in the world that wouldn't love to have Mahomes as their quarterback. But it's just a bad look to me. It's one, anybody can get blown out in a game. Right. But his two worst games as a pro were in the Super Bowl. And you can't look that back. And now, to Vander's point, his O-line got absolutely mauled. The tackle specifically got abused. And there's no stopping that fact. Right. When you're running for your life, no quarterback's good on their back. Right. Anybody will tell you that. So he was seeing ghosts because the Eagles were all over him and pressuring him relentlessly. But going back to your question, I thought they started the game plan well with quick throws. But the problem with that was there was no threat of a deep ball. And the Eagles just squeezed all those short. They were able to bracket Kelsey and put pressure on all those short throws. And he didn't have time, and they just got to him and forced him into mistakes. So he either got sacked, pressured, and had to throw it away, or made a bad throw. For me, what I would have done differently is I would have max protected. I would have sent less guys out, less routes, and protected him. I would have had a lot more guys on the line of scrimmage to try to shut down that pass rush where I could double team the tackles. And give myself the ability to let a guy like Worthy and Hollywood Brown or Worthy and Kelsey underneath to try to create some separation to make some plays. There was no threat of a running game because A, they refused to do it, and B, they fell behind so bad they couldn't do it. So it just if I'm Coach Reed, and I saw what was the problem against the Buccaneers. And personnel-wise, the Eagles were very capable of producing the same game plan. My concern is, why did we not have a plan knowing that this was probably coming? If I was a coach of the Chiefs, I would have foreseen that this was the blueprint coming, and there was no answer.
Let me ask you a question. I feel the max protect thing, but do you really max protect against four guys? Because at that point, you're running two, maybe three receivers against seven. Anyway, I mean, it's still, you're getting outnumbered when they come to pass. I mean, they're getting there with four. So I guess Andy's thinking, damn, I can't leave a tight end in the chip and help. I mean, because then at that point, I'm running two receivers out against seven guys. So you just...
I don't disagree with you, Vander. I'm just looking at... I mean, what you're saying makes sense from a number standpoint.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If what you're doing clearly hasn't worked, I can't keep running that back for four quarters and expect it to change, right? Right. I'm not saying my idea was great. The truth is, no matter what you do, it looked like they were in harm's way. Like, I don't think there was any way of changing the outcome here unless you can somehow bring in better tackles at halftime. But since that's not a viable option, I need Mahomes to be confident back there, not run for his life, and not see things that he's not. Because both of those interceptions were all on him. Those were rookie mistakes. Like, you can't make those kind of bad throws that he did. Especially the one where you're deep in your, you're on your 6 yard line. You can't be throwing the ball up for grabs off your back foot. I don't care that someone's pushed into you. You can't do that.
He definitely gave them 14 points.
And at an inopportune time, if the points off of turnovers aren't at a point where you can kind of in the back of your mind say, okay, all we need is one score and we're right back in again. Like, once you got down, I think it was like 24-0 or something crazy. It was just like, we can't even chip away at the score because we can't even chip away at yards right now. We can't pick up first downs right now, and we can't stop them from winning the field position game. So I hate to say this about anyone, but it felt like they knew early on in the game that they didn't have what it was going to take to beat this team. And it didn't help with the fact that early on in the game that they were way behind. But if I can't even get a first down and I'm down by 24 points, this is not about to be a New England versus Atlanta type situation. This beatdown is going to get even worse. And that's exactly what we saw.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say that made me laugh in the commentary, right? Because it triggered this when you said that, Zay. I laugh when Brady made the comment that he was, you know, Kevin Burkhart, a.k.a. KB. KB came and said, you know, Tom, if you're the Chiefs, what do you do? And, like, we're just trying to get a drive where we go past midfield. And I was like, that was shots.
Yeah.
But it was true. They hadn't got there, you know? So it's like,
can we just get a field goal range, please?
Like, can we just sustain something? It makes sense, right? Can we just get something where we sustain something positive, yeah, where we can say, okay, well, we can hang our hat on this worked.
Agreed. Yeah, it was just an all-around poor performance. But to your point, Vander, maybe a Rashee Rice type of player who would have been there if not due to injury. But look, probably not going to have him next year either. That injury got him this year. But that case that he's waiting on might catch him next year. So who knows? They still may not have him. And Hollywood Brown just did not quite work out the way I thought he would. Maybe he isn't quite himself yet, doesn't have his feet back under him, coming back from injury himself. Worthy feels like right now, at least, he's a one-trick pony. He's not big enough to do much other than attempt to run by people. So Kelsey's one more year. If it isn't this year, he's one more year closer to calling it a quit. So the team that we have come to know is not the team that will be here in the very near future. And that could, you know, come right down to even the coach. So we could see some major changes over the next year or two in Kansas City that can really change the direction of the GOAT conversation, or the living legend conversation versus the GOAT, if you will. BK, you got something?
No, I was just going to say, going back to the Chiefs, like, you know, Vander said earlier about, you know, they're going to be there year after year. And I agree with that. The thing that makes it tough And what makes what the Chiefs did so impressive over the last 3 years was, think about the competition in the AFC, right? The Bengals, I know they got off to a slow start, but the Bengals are a talented team who seems to play the Chiefs well all the time. The Texans are an improved team. They're not going anywhere. The Bills are right there knocking on the door. The Ravens are right there knocking on the door. Who knows what the Chargers under Harbaugh will be in year two or three moving forward, right? I think the Broncos are going to get a lot better. Bo Nix, rookie contract with that defense. They add some skill weapons. Nix keeps getting better. The Broncos are right there. So I just say that to say that look at all the teams we talk. And I know they don't want to have to deal with the NFC until the Super Bowl, but there's just a lot of teams in this league that it won't take much to get close to where they're at. And so it just shows you how good and dominant the Chiefs have been, because the challengers aren't going away. And so, you know, that gap's going to continue to narrow as Mahomes keeps getting older, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that tightens and how they're able to adapt, because Reed's been really good about adding pieces, parts to make them stay where they're at.
A couple other things that happened here recently. Kellen Moore, after winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles, went directly to work as the Saints head coach. I'm interested to see how this is going to work out with the Saints. They do have some offensive pieces there, to say the least, at wide receiver, at running back. The quarterback is the quote-unquote biggest question mark on offense. However, we've seen him put up plenty of numbers. We've also seen Kellen Moore use this type of a team and have a pretty potent offense. So where are your thoughts as far as the upcoming season with New Orleans under Kellen Moore? And what are you looking out for specifically that's going to change with Kellen Moore being with the Saints versus their prior leadership? Vanna, why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
I don't think a whole lot changes. I mean, it's the Saints. In the NFC South, this may do well for fantasy implications with a guy like Kellen Moore as far as a quarterback, and then maybe a guy like Chris Olave maybe can now take the leap that everybody was waiting on. But this division has been getting better. Atlanta look like they're turning the curve. They spent some money as well. And then you got Tampa Bay, who Baker Mayfield, who's going to have a new coordinator, another coordinator, but they've been playing well, so I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, he wasn't their first pick anyway, right?
Right.
So he's like the third, fourth guy. Hell, we'll take somebody. We got to get somebody. He got the jobs. With that being said, I don't think it's a big deal, in all honesty.
BK, you feel the same way, or do you think that Kellen Moore could be the guy to turn things around in the down under?
I think it's much ado about nothing. If I can quote two words that are going to summarize the Saints, three words: salary cap hell.
Wow, true.
Yes,
that, true. With that salary cap and no quarterback, what are they going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going to be third place in that division.
You got a point. There's not much you can do to get better when you don't have money to spend. And you don't necessarily have picks that are – they're going to have to do some real work as far as the draft is concerned. But, yeah, it's going to be a hill to climb. I do believe that they'll give him a little bit more of a leash than we'll see with some other spots, though. So that could work out well for him. He may be taking this job with the understanding that I'm going to be around long enough for us to get out of purgatory as far as salary cap is concerned. And then you'll actually be able to see what I'm capable of doing when we don't have to be on a ration and I can go buy some more groceries. So that'll be what, another 2 years, 3 years, something like that. And I don't know what the contract was that they gave him, but
here's the thing, brother. If he has any success there, and call me skeptical on that, but if he has any success there, He'll do just enough to turn it around for the next coach to benefit.
For most first-time head coaches, that's what we normally see. They're very few and far between that your first stop is your last stop as far as coaching is concerned. So that'll be par for the course. And then maybe you'll get hired in Dallas.
They always say, Zay, you're hired to be fired, right? Isn't that the coaching adage?
That's pretty much the way it works. So a couple other things. The Jets said that they're going to be releasing Aaron Rodgers. They're going to go in a different direction. Now, I don't know if that means that they're going to bring someone in as far as like a veteran. Jordan Travis is there. He's been hurt, but he looks to be a backup. Don't know how that's going to work out. And I believe Tyrod Taylor is still there. Don't know how that's going to work out, but it won't be Aaron Rodgers. How do you feel about that situation? But then also, what situation do you think works out best for Aaron Rodgers this offseason with looking at the teams that need a quarterback to kind of fill that veteran role for a year or two as they bring someone else in, or just a bridge to another bridge, depending on how that team operates? What are you guys thinking as far as Rodgers is concerned? BK, I guess you can go ahead and start us out on this.
Well, I think from a Rodgers standpoint, ultimately, I've been saying this for 2 years now, but he needs to retire. The time has come. It's time to retire. If he should continue playing, I think the situations that if I were him that I would look for would be one of the following. You could make the argument for him going to San Francisco.
They're not going to party. That's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that, again, people are a lot higher on Purdy than I am. And since the question is asked about what I would do or think, I think that Rodgers is an upgrade over Purdy. Purdy is a game manager. Rodgers at least has won a Super Bowl. Although, granted, we all had a lot more hair back then. Nevertheless, I say all that to say that other options would be, I do think that the Steelers could be an option as they look for a QB1. You know, Russell Wilson's not back. What a shock. We know that they're not sold on Fields, so that might be an option there, throwing your reins there. The other thing I would consider is, given Tua's history, what about him going to Miami? You know, like, give it Hill and Waddle and being able to, and Mostert and be able to throw the ball around the yard. That might be an option there, given Tua's, I don't think that the team is sold on him despite the contract they gave him and his injury history. That might make sense too, but those would be the three that I would look at.
I've got one for you. I just got one that I think that would be perfect. And Vander, I'll let you go because I know you dissect this thing in a different way, and you'll probably be coming up with something that'll actually be exactly what the hell happens. It just works out that way.
I think there's only going to be one or three choices.
Okay.
And BK said, I think two of them. The Steelers, I think. The 49ers is a possibility.
Why'd you say the team that I was thinking?
Hold on.
I'm gonna write down.
Vander, I'm just excited that I went 2 for 3. If this was baseball, I'd be getting tested.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I wrote down the initials. Just so the people won't think I'm biting off of you because you normally write about these type of things. Versus coming up with my own answer.
But the third team, and maybe the most obvious that people are not really thinking about, Las Vegas.
That's not the team I had in mind.
Yeah, so
okay. Let's hear about
the Las Vegas Raiders, man. I mean, they're looking for a quarterback.
Okay.
And then you have, Tom Brady, who's there. I know he probably had a lot of respect for a guy.
So Brady ain't going to hate on an older quarterback. I see where you're going. Okay.
And then, again, he's going to be there kind of as a bridge, so they probably can draft their quarterback for the future.
Instead, you think Devontae will go back with him?
Absolutely. See, that's the thing. And that's the thing why I do like the Pittsburgh move, because Devontae is a big fan of Tomlin, and Tomlin's a big fan of him. And that was a guy they were trying to get, in the offseason. I mean, well, this season during the trade deadline as well. So when you get Rodgers, you get Devontae with him. I think they're going to come as a package deal. Hey, Devontae probably still has a house still out there in Vegas somewhere, right? He gets to go back home. So that's kind of a thing. So I do think the 49ers will probably be third on this list. These are two California kids. So I do like the San Francisco move as well. He probably would love to retire with that red and gold, because that's the team he wanted to go to when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
But never made it. Same thing for Tom Brady. Always wanted to be a 49er, and they just didn't come a calling when the opportunity was there. So those are three teams for me: Steelers, Raiders, and then Niners third.
So a couple of the teams that y'all named, I won't rename. I'll just throw the one out that neither one of you named. And I'm surprised that neither one of you named.
I know what it is.
I feel real good about where I'm going here. No.
Let me guess.
No. Why you want to take my go ahead. Go ahead.
I just guess. Is it an AFC team?
No.
Okay, well, good.
It's not.
Okay, good.
So what was your guess?
Titans. Because Tennessee was also in on Aaron Rodgers when he was free as well.
I got a better team for all parties concerned. What if, right? Y'all sitting down? Y'all ready for this? What if Aaron Rodgers went to Minnesota, brought Devontae Adams with him, and you have the trio of Jefferson, Adams, and Addison?
That would be nuts.
Adams ain't going to cost you too much, so you don't have to worry about salary cap. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to cost you too much. He's going to cost a whole lot less. Well, maybe not a whole lot less, but definitely less than what the market is going to now pay Sam Darnold based on what he did in Minnesota. Do I trust Aaron Rodgers more than I trust Sam Darnold? Absolutely, I do. Do I think in that offense Aaron Rodgers couldn't lose? Absolutely, I do. Do I think that that defense is already ready and they just need an offense that doesn't stall in inopportune times? That's literally all they need. And you talk about...
Oh, you know what's so funny?
What's that?
It's deja vu. It's the repeat. Because didn't bring
four. Yeah. Facts. Yeah. It'd be the same.
And he get to stick it to the Packers twice a year, right? And you know the Bears. You know how you feel about them, so...
Look, yeah, that's checks all the boxes.
Bro, that's interesting.
Who loses in that situation? The Vikings actually get better by spending less money. They pay Rodgers and Adams will probably be about what some other fool is about to pay Sam Darnold. And you talk about filling a gap and being literally in a Super Bowl window right now over the next 2 years. I would give him a 2-year contract. After this, we're going to part ways. Flores, luckily from Minnesota, didn't leave. Like you're right here. You're right here. TJ Hockenson is going to be a year removed if you need to from injury. If you need to bring in another running back, because I think Aaron Jones may be a free agent. I'm not 100% sure on that. But even if he isn't, bring in another running back, and you cooking with hot grease. Like who's messing with you?
I love it. I mean, I think that's the best move. But if Minnesota's interested, I mean, don't forget, they picked up Daniel Jones. So they still have.
He'll be a great backup.
You have McCarthy. You still have JJ from Michigan is still there.
He's still coming off injury. That's why I said 2 years. 2 years. And if things don't go right year one, I want that second year to be a team option, not a player option, just so we're clear.
I love it.
Who's going to come calling? Really, it ain't going to be too many teams that's going to come calling. And if I got the choice between going to Minnesota or going to Pittsburgh,
playing the dome,
come on.
By the way, real quick on Sam Darnold, whatever GM signs him, he needs to do two things. After he signs him, he might as well just pre-write his resignation letter. Just lighting money on fire.
I mean, I could see Sam possibly signing with the Giants. That'll be an upgrade for them because they literally have nobody. There aren't really a whole lot of teams that are going to be clamoring for his services. I don't see. Are there any other teams that you guys could think of other than possibly the Vikings, if they can get them with a hometown discount, they're going to be looking at getting his services?
I think the Raiders is still a
choice. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think the Raiders, the Browns, the Giants.
I heard the Browns are looking at possibly Cousins. So I guess the both of them are going to be in the same boat. Whichever one doesn't go to, the other one kind of will, is how it's going to end up working out. But it'll definitely be.
So what about a reunion? What about Cousins go back to Minnesota?
If I can get Rodgers versus Cousins, I would take Rodgers' experience in big games.
And much cheaper, too.
And he's going to be cheaper. Well, not necessarily, because Atlanta will still be paying his salary for at least 1 year. So if you made it a 1 year deal, it's going to be a Russell Wilson type situation. Like you're going to be paying him pennies.
I think it's telling to me that the Falcons were in the midst of a divisional race and they literally benched him for a rookie. Like the fact that you would do that tells me that. And Minnesota's already seen that video before.
Well, the word was he got injured in week 10 and just kept playing. So the reason they might have set him, it could have been for his and their own good, being that he was playing hurt and wasn't productive playing hurt. So that there's that, you know, caveat as well. A couple other things to talk about. This is in the NBA. So I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to see Luka in his first game in a Lakers uniform on last night. I forced myself to stay awake, even though it was a 10:30 start. I had to see the first game with the King and the – what is Luka's nickname? Does Luka have a nickname yet?
Baby Bird.
Oh, Baby Bird. Baby Bird. Yeah. Baby Bird. Yes, sir. So – I loved what I saw. They didn't even play that much together, but you can see the recognition that they had to have someone else on the court that understood what they understood about the play that was going on or about what was happening on the court. It was just like a, wow, you knew exactly where to be, and I didn't have to say anything. Like you just know how to play basketball. Like it's that sort of bromance that is a brewing. There's a couple of things that stick out to me as far as this is concerned. The Lakers now actually have a guy who can extend LeBron's career because LeBron literally can be, he don't have to be 1B. He can be 2B. He can just get in whenever they need him to be in at this point because they got a guy that won with lesser talent than what the Lakers have when LeBron isn't on the court when he was in Dallas. Not looking at I won't say that there's a Kyrie on the team, but the collection of the guys that are there and how they are able to work together. Austin Reeves is coming out of his shell. He's one of only four Lakers in recent history to come up with a 45-point game, being him, AD, LeBron, and Kobe. So, you know, those games don't come by fly by night. And now you're going to be the third best guy on the court versus being the guy that everyone was going up against when you put up that 45 because neither LeBron nor Luka was in the game. Like, it's just – then you got Vanderbilt who's playing hard-nosed defense. You got Hayes who is young, but he's finally kind of starting to know where to be on the court to make the best plays. The alley-oops seem to be coming a little bit more frequent now because he knows when that pick-and-roll is going to pop. And like, I'm seeing a lot of good things. I'm liking what I'm seeing from J.J. Redick. I don't want to completely drink the Kool-Aid, but barring injuries, this team is going to be a tough out for anybody because I'm sorry, when you're looking at the combination of Luka and Kyrie making it to the finals, Kyrie is Kyrie, and this is not to poo-poo Kyrie in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but Kyrie is not the king. He is not LeBron. So what LeBron and Luka can do together in comparison to what Kyrie and Luka did together, I really like the chess pieces that can be moved around the board, whether they go big, they go small. And then they got Alex Len today, who became a free agent. They said that he was going to go I think it was either Miami or Milwaukee or somewhere he was going to go, but he ended up going to the Lakers, seeing as how that the trade that was going to send Dalton Knecht, which I'm kind of glad we keep him Knecht, because that's a whole nother score. And like, we really will be able to allow LeBron to, if he chooses to, lengthen his career by not having to play nearly as many minutes, but when it counts, and we can still count on him. This also puts his odds of being in a position to be able to do anything in the realm of winning the championship, that door versus being sealed and laminated with AD as a partner. Sorry that this, I just didn't see it happening. Versus what we have now in LA. Now we can have a conversation about what that would look like based on there not being a whole lot of other teams that are solidified other than the Celtics. Everything else has been moving pieces and surprises. And OKC, although they've been dominant in the regular season, they haven't done a whole lot during the postseason. So even some of the better teams haven't done it when it counts. And now you have two guys that the elder statesman, the veteran, if you will, his wisdom of how to play in postseason can be leaned on by the young buck, and the energy and the motor of the young buck, the veteran can lean on. I like everything about it. But Vander, I know you're a Lakers fan. What are your thoughts on the trade, on the pairing, as far as what you saw last night, all of that good stuff? Where are you?
I mean, of course, I love the trade. I think this trade I think the powers that be, somebody behind a curtain somewhere made this thing happen. LeBron is about to leave, and now you got a 25-year-old that's going to be there for 10 more years. And we just spoke about, you know, a few shows ago about the ratings taking a small dip. And this is something that is going to change that. You have the number one national star in LA, in the LA market. Those jersey sales are already going crazy. So
the ticket price went from an average of $46 to an average of $123, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
So there you go.
Immediately.
Instant. But as far as on the court, I still wish we could take Mark Williams. Knecht, he's cool, but you need the big. And I like Mark Williams as the biggest.
But he's hurt. So I'd rather not get another big that ain't going to be able to be out there when it matters the most.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of Alex Lane. I mean, at least he could have go get maybe a Dwight Howard or somebody. I mean,
and they may still do that. I mean, he was a free agent, and he accepted the veteran's minimum. So, I mean, it's not like they got rid of anybody that they were dependent on or anything. So,
yeah, but having Luka again, I mean, you have somebody that can go get their own bucket.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Somebody can get the ball, get out the way, and let him go get his own bucket. I mean, the guy's, what, 25, 9, 25,
yeah,
or something like that. Playoffs is like 39-9. Like, you can count on that. So, I'm not sure they're ready, championship ready for this year. But the West, I mean, don't be surprised if they're there. I'm not going to say, yo, we're going to the championship this year, but
they're in third right now. They were in third before Luka got there.
Yeah, but like I say, when you got Luka, you see the team that he led to the finals last year. I mean, anything is possible.
BK, question for you. It was put out there that the Mavs attempted to create a trade with Milwaukee, knowing that Giannis, his future is kind of undetermined, based on some words that he spoke just a few days ago, where he was championing, you know, all of these international players going to big markets. I think that's kind of telling you where his mindset may be next go round. But they're saying that they attempted to make a trade with Milwaukee for Giannis. They also attempted to contact Minnesota for a possible trade for Anthony Edwards. And when neither one of those things worked out, that's when they went with AD. Do you think that that's the true story? Or do you think that that's the story that's been put out there so that it makes it seem more palatable to the Dallas fans and to those conspiracy theorists that feel as if Los Angeles may have kind of been, you know, thrown the keys to the kingdom due to financial issues with the NBA? And I have heard that when the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks, and then you can throw whoever else in there. But when those three teams specifically have a team, there's a whole lot more excitement in the NBA. And then there's other guys, you know, like the Spurs of the world, the OKCs of the world, you know, that are your, you know, your Milwaukees of the world that make things interesting. But when those three teams are really good, it's really good for the NBA. So how are you feeling about this storyline? And is it causation, correlation, no relation? Where are we?
So I think it's revisionist history.
Okay.
What I mean by that is the GM initially came out and said that the only team I spoke to was the Lakers. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing now that he's getting death threats and all these other things, and not making light of that, by the way, because that's a serious thing. I'm not making light
of it. It's so unnecessary. Please do better.
Right. But at the end of the day, it's revisionist history because it's just untrue. The only conversation he had was with the Lakers, and they made the Lakers deal. It goes because, again, if we have a VP of common sense here, right, I'm supposed to believe in one breath that the only conversation we had was with the Lakers, and the agent and all these players and a lot of moving parts, and the head coach had no idea what was going on, and no other team was involved. And we're trying to trade our superstar player, and we don't put him out on the market to try to get the very best deal, right? We were just talking to the Lakers. And then in the next breath, I'm supposed to believe we talked to Milwaukee and talked to these other teams in Minnesota, and it just didn't happen. The reality is they just talked to the Lakers. They knew the Lakers would be willing to make the deal, and they rightfully so, because it's a home run for the Lakers. I still don't really think they went from a 0% chance of winning a title to, at best, a 5% chance. So, I mean, I guess
you don't think that's kind of low?
That's
let me ask it this way. Yeah. Who's head and shoulders better than them in the West when they were already third in the West before Luka got there?
Well, remember, for most of the season, they were struggling in the 6 or 7 spot before this recent win streak. So before this, they were 6, 7.
When
so they're really close before. So they were closer to being a play-in team than they were a contender prior to Luka. That's the reality of it.
But the streak happened. That's also the reality of it.
I get it. But at the end of the day, they're not beating the Nuggets and they're not beating OKC. Because here's the problem. Neither LeBron nor Luka play defense. So they don't. They both are allergic at LeBron because he can't anymore, and Luka because he never has been able to. So the team's just not good enough to be able. I agree with what Vander said. Next year will be a different thing if they can piece together the team better. But at this point, they don't have the roster to win a title.
Vander, what do you think that their title hopes are? Go ahead and round out the show. Looking at the competition currently in the West, the fact that they're currently number 3, and Luka looked phenomenal last night, and he had played basketball in 6 weeks. Is Luka, LeBron, and the rest of the squad enough to make some magic happen against teams that traditionally haven't been all that great in the playoffs, other than the Nuggets, who had their own warts last season and aren't necessarily looking the most dominant this season? But what are your thoughts as far as the championship hopes of the Lakers for this season?
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. Are they the best team? No. There's so many teams better than them. But, again, this is basketball. Hell, you see Anthony Davis hurt already, right? They just
That's
made it
a surprise.
He's already hurt. So, in this game, I've seen injuries.
He held on just long enough to get traded. I appreciate you, AD.
Right. So, I mean, like you say, you have Denver, you have OKC who looks good, but they're young. And so once you have a top 5 player and like a Luka, and then you have a all-time great player and a LeBron James, anything can happen.
Hey, who was that? In the words of Kevin Garnett, anything can happen!
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you still have the Celtics. You know, you have some pretty good teams out there. But, again, with injuries and where this thing going, you never know.
And that pretty much wraps it up for us for this evening. And this will wrap up the season of the weekly recap show on Wednesday. So we will bring this show back a little bit closer to football season. Maybe we might bring it back come NBA playoff times as well. We'll kind of see how we navigate that. So for the next few weeks, you will have one show per week, and then we'll be bringing back the fantasy football show as things kind of kick up in the NFL with free agency and the draft ease for the 2025 year. But for this evening, we are done. And remember, always tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
We out.